time for our monthly update from Encourage Foundation. You can find their office at 478 East Grand Avenue. And joining us in the studio, we're going to have Jen Perry joining Heather McKellips this morning. And we're going to be talking about a community survey and community conversations during our conversation. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Hopefully, Heather, you're feeling better.
I am, but now you have me nervous that you have your flu shot, and I don't, so I got to get on that.
Okay. Marshfield Clinic, they can help. Okay. Now, let's talk about this community survey and community conversations. We talked about it the last time you were here.
Yeah, and we're back to give you some more details. And
you were here. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, it's all coming full circle now.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about it. This is kind of a follow-up to a previous community survey, which identified what the community wants for their future, and to put it simply, I guess.
Yes.
Yep. So the priorities that were identified in 2012 were a strong economy, opportunities for young adults and families, nature and recreation, and it was towards the preservation and use of those, of recreation and nature, and then openness to new ideas and change, which was a great positive surprise that came from that survey, is that we were, as a community, open to new ideas and some change.
Yeah, industrial cities or industrial areas tend to be very, well, that's the way we've always done it. And I think maybe because of the shock of what we went through, everybody kind of realized we got to do something different.
Yeah.
If we're going to make this work.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, since you identified that, what are you trying to accomplish with the next one?
Yeah, well, it's been 5 years, so that first survey was back in 2012. And, you know, if 5 years have gone by, a lot of things have changed. And so it's our effort to go back out into the community and say, you know, where are residents at now? Are those four priorities the same? Have they changed? The landscape in our community, things have changed. And so that might have changed. And then what are they looking for the future? And we just want to get out and not only have people take the survey like we did last time, but what we did in 2012 is host these community conversations. And it is an opportunity to really, this parallel process with the survey, to go into conversation with, you know, residents, 1, 2, 5, 10 people at a time, to say, okay, tell me more. Like, give me some context. Give me some examples. Tell me why you think that way, instead of just filling out a survey.
Okay. And also, that can give you a multi-generational perspective, because you can have folks, well, I remember way back when this was a paper town and blah, 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 blah. And someone who's new says, well, it's not that way anymore. We need to, so you can get the two generational views. I would think that's positive in this kind of a conversation.
Absolutely. We learn a lot as far as what we would like to honor from our history, and then moving forward, what we can do together to make progress.
Okay, so how are you going to conduct the survey, and how are these community conversations going to be conducted?
Okay. Well, last time, and I hate to reference back to 2012, but if people participated, they'll have that memory and want to be clear about what's the same and what's different. So in 2012, we did paper surveys, online surveys, and we consulted with a firm that did telephone surveys. So to get that random, statistically, that's a hard word to say, statistically accurate sampling of residents. And 5 years later, a lot of people have gotten rid of their landlines. A lot of people don't answer the phone. They're screening more, right?
Right.
So that wasn't going to work. So what we have done is we're contracting with an outside researcher that is going to, and has already sent out 25 surveys to 2,500 random households in our community. So some of you listeners may have gotten it. I've already gotten a phone call. I'd encourage about it. So those surveys have gone out, and once they're going to be out in the community for about 4 weeks, there'll be reminders for people to send it back in. And then at the end of November, November 27th, Encourage will put out a blast to our mailing list, and postcards will go out for people to sign up and take the survey online on our website, or they can get a paper copy as well.
Okay. And how big is the, or how long of a survey is it? Or how detailed?
It's 4 pages.
4 pages.
Yeah, it'll take you maybe 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, so it's not...
It's relatively short, yes.
It's very simple to do. Mm-hmm. You fill it out, send it back, and then you compile the data.
The researcher compiles it. Yeah.
The researcher will compile the data. Okay, are you going to start then the community conversations after you get that original data or during this process?
That's a great question. We're actually going to do the training next week. We've reached out to a multitude of people to invite them to be a host, and there's still opportunities if you're interested. But we're going to host training next week on Monday at noon at Encourage, and then we're going to do a session on November 15th at 5:30. And then we'll do one at 7:30 on November 16th. So we wanted to offer a bunch of different time frames because we know everyone's schedules are different. And what we're doing in that training is just walking people through what it is, what is the survey, why we're doing it, and then giving them the tools so they can go out and host a conversation with their friends, their family, colleagues, you know, their neighbors, just again to get that complimentary data.
Okay, and these conversations, I take it, because of the variety of hosts, will be of a whole gamut of sizes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Gamut of sizes, gamut of generations, in different, we're hoping, in different industries. And if I could speak a little bit about what we're doing with the schools. That's a whole nother story. So you were talking about the generational.
Right.
And what we did last time is we looked at surveying people 18 and older. And what I am really excited about this year is that we recognize that one of the things that we want to do is attract and retain our young adults here, right? We want them to see this as, if they go away to school, as a viable place to come back and raise their family or to go to school here and stay here.
Right.
And so we want that perspective. And so we're doing outreach to all the schools in the areas and asking if they would ask their juniors and seniors to take the survey, if they'd offer up that space for that. And then we have teachers who want to be hosts and have conversations with those kids. So not only taking that survey and having that voice heard, but having that conversation to get a deeper dive into their responses.
I like that idea, because if you're going to retain young people here, you got to know what motivates them. What are they looking for?
Absolutely.
And where are we lacking? If they say, well, no, I don't want to live here. Once I graduate, I'm gone. Bye. We need to know what causes that.
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of assumptions that are made by parents, by, you know, maybe industry. Like, we all assume that kids want to go away and not come back. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. And that's why I think that having their perception and their insight on what our community priorities should be is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they also have their network, their friends. Now, since the last survey, we've seen an explosion in social media.
Yes.
Does the survey take that into account?
Absolutely. So we have, Carl, we have a great communications team at Encourage, and they've been working really hard to pull together a full promotions plan. And something unique to Encourage, I would say, is our outreach and promotions. We tend to have many different networks at Encourage, if it's industry, if it's the schools, may even be just the nonprofits we work with and things of that nature. And so we've actually, not just social media, but different tactics, even picking up the phone and calling these other people and other networks to say, how can you help us promote this survey? Because it's very important. I think I said this last time I was on air with you. Our goal is to beat last time.
Okay.
And our community is great at rallying. So I am very hopeful that we can have more than 4,100 people take the survey or participate in these conversations. So that's our goal, is greater than 4,100 people involved.
Okay. Well, we can do that. There's no reason
why.
That's very doable. Okay. So now, is there a timeline of when you want to get everything done? When do you need to have everything done so the researcher can then pull all this information and come up with your final report?
Yeah, actually, that's so funny you ask, because we have a gorgeous timeline sitting in front of us that our comms team put together. So as I said, the random survey that has already been launched to the 2,500 households is out in the community right now, and that will be out for 4 weeks. And then on November 27th, we will be opening our community survey from Encourage's Lens. That's where we'll do a lot of communications and marketing online, and with a postcard that will go out to all all households in our community, letting them know that this is going on. The public survey will be open until January 8th. That is when the survey will close. And then we will have our researcher gather and analyze all that data. And then we are going to host a public event on February 27th, where all public will be invited to come and hear the survey results.
Okay. That could be, where will that be held at? Have you decided, or is that to be determined?
We're actually working to secure a location right now.
Okay, so
last time it was at the PAD, and we're hopeful that it could be there again as long as it's available. So we're working on that right now.
Okay. So that's the timeline. And who is the researcher that is working on this?
Well, we have University of Massachusetts. They have a Center for Research and Study, and they're the ones that we've contracted to do that random survey. But then we also have a partner with Network Impact out of Boston, and they are the ones that helped us create the survey. So it was statistically valid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a specialty area of why you went to Massachusetts. This is like the one place in the country that does this, or
they're known for it. Yeah, they do quite a bit of work in Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then talk more about this community survey and community conversations. Encourage is encouraging you to get involved with, and they are in the process of doing a community survey and conversations, the 2017 community survey and conversations, building on what happened back in 2012. And we've talked about some of you have already received in the mail a survey, and we encourage you to, and no pun intended, to fill that out, because your input is very important to this. And we're going to have community conversations happening, and the results of all of this will come together at a public event on February 27th next year. My question for you, ladies, and in the studio with us are Jen Perry and Heather McKellips from Encourage. Oh, we got a variety of different organizations. We have schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, Mid State Technical College, I'm for sure would be very interested in this. Mm-hmm. We have business organizations, large businesses, large employers, small businesses. How are we going to get that data into the this overall mix?
Well, that's in part due to the research, to the outreach that we're doing. We're being very intentional about not only reaching out into all those different networks to take the survey, right? That's the first call to action. But then the second approach is to make sure that we have hosts with networks that can go into those just to have those conversations. So it's really a multi-layer approach. What we're doing in addition is called a data landscape analysis. And what this is looking at about 8 to 10 organizations that use local data. Like, this isn't just the only source of data that people will reference or use. Other organizations, our partners, are using data, and we want to get a good feel for, and by we, I mean our researcher, wants to get a good feel for what are those data sources that they're using to help make decisions and inform their work. So we can really lay out what is the data landscape in our community. And so Network Impact, our partner, is going to be reaching out to some of those organizations and doing interviews and doing a very comprehensive conversation with them about their data. So that can kind of, when we do that public event, that'll be an overlay into the information as well.
And that will help better explain what those other surveys may have shown, or maybe it will show things have really changed.
Right. It'll give us what their data sources are. Are they asking residents for that data, or are they getting it from a state agency? Are there gaps in their data? Are there things missing that we need to think about, maybe as a community, how we can fill in some of those gaps? Or is there an opportunity for us to be, as residents, to get involved with either that organization or just in general to create a set of data that's missing?
Of course, businesses use marketing research all the time. Mm-hmm. And I can think of one that made the news a lot earlier this year or in the past year was Pew Research did a thing on millennials. And it did everything from their political viewpoints to their religious views, their preferences, their thoughts on business. And it was very detailed, and a lot of business organizations have been looking at it going, oh, we got to do a different type of marketing to this generation. So I would think this is... you know, you got to find out what they're using.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. You want to make sure that you find out what they're using. You want to make sure, as Jen said, there aren't any gaps in data in our community, and making sure there is credible, valid data and not duplication as well.
Okay. I'm glad you brought it up, because could we just be duplicating some of the stuff that happened previously? Or maybe that's part of the scientific research that confirms something. Okay, your first day, they said this, and this confirms that, that they're really... Okay.
Well, in the survey creation, for our survey, we can't speak to the other data that they'll be looking into, but our survey, we want to be very intentional that we had questions that were on 2012 that we're looking at again in 2017, so we can show in a five-year period what has changed, what has stayed the same, so we have that data point, that baseline to refer back to. But then we know also that... things have changed, and so there are different things that have popped up in our community that we wanted to check also. So we've added additional questions. So it won't look, if you took it in 2012, what I'm trying to say, is it won't be exactly the same, but there will be enough the same that we can look at that baseline.
And in the meantime, we've had people move into this community.
Exactly, right. Yes.
And we've become more multicultural in this area. We've become much more diverse, because of our employers. Have gone out and brought in people from, say, more urban areas and the like, and that's gonna be interesting. Say someone that's moved here from, say, a Madison or a Milwaukee or even a Chicago, how they view this area as compared to someone who's lived here their entire life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I talked to a gentleman a while ago at Neighborhood Table who had moved up here from Chicago, and he was so excited to be in this area because it was safe, how beautiful, like just really talked about all of our assets.
The stuff we take for granted.
Exactly, exactly. So that narrative can be very different depending on who you talk to.
Okay. How do you plan on using this? Are you going to get all of this information? You gotta come up with a report. Mm-hmm. What do we do with it?
Exactly. Do you want
to? Sure. So I go back to 2012 again, just as a baseline.
Sure.
And many of the, not only just the priorities that the community identified, but even small data points and other things within that, we as Encourage use that in our strategic planning. So as we are an organization for the community, we really want to understand where residents stand for their hopes, their concerns, what are their priorities, and then that affects what our plan and our priorities as an organization or as an institution, where that lie.
Okay.
Would you add to that, Heather?
I would say that just as we use it, we saw our partners doing the same.
Yeah.
So it helped inform, you know, either their strategic plan or helped inform programming they might have, or just looking at how they do their work. Just like you said, the Pew research, right? Any data point like that, you're going to take as an organization, you go, oh, how might I use this to inform them?
Well, I go back to that 2012 survey, and I know we've seen a variety of organizations in terms of employment and education address those issues. And the city has done so in terms of, okay, we have to address certain amenity needs in our community. Okay, we need something recreationally for our community. We need to develop our recreational resources, job opportunities, educational opportunities. I'm sure Midstate has looked at all that and other stuff going, okay, here's what we can do. Reggie, you know.
Well, the other point I would say that is, it also checks assumptions that we have about, you know, people's perceptions or priorities. And if I go back to 2012, open to new ideas and change.
Well, that was surprising to a lot of people.
It was surprising. What was most surprising for me is that it was our older adults that were saying that.
Yes.
You know, we need to be open to changing new ideas. We need that culture, that environment for our young people. They were most concerned about our young people and adults as far as an attraction and retention, where my assumption, quite frankly, was like, they're like, oh, well, you know, we don't need to worry. This is how we've always been. That wasn't their take. Mm-hmm. They were really concerned about the younger generations.
Okay, so well, that's a positive thing then.
Very positive. It checked an assumption that I had and probably others had with that data.
Okay, what assumptions are we going to be testing with this one? Or error?
That's a good question.
That's my job.
Well, one of the assumptions that I have is that the priorities. I don't even know if it's an assumption. I'm wondering, have the priorities changed?
Right.
Have people shifted as far as what's important to them? Like, those were four. have we moved the needle in such an area that they're like, oh, that's not a priority. We've checked that off, right? So I'm curious as to what's going to rise to the top this time.
And that goes back to, well, like I said, people, you gave a beautiful example of the gentleman from Chicago. Okay, his priorities, I'm thinking, are going to be vastly different from someone who's lived here their entire life.
Exactly.
He might look at this, hey, this is a really nice area. Well, what can we use? You know what? It's good.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Now, these conversations, when they're conducted, and people are getting the training for this, are there some base questions that are asked?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, we actually create a conversation guide. So we try to make it as easy as possible so anyone can step into that role of host, because every one of us has a great network to get into and have those conversations. The conversations themselves are so valuable. If you're one of the people at the table, you get to know what your neighbor's thinking, or even your family member. You might not know that. So it's an opportunity in that way. And so we try to make it easy by the guide.
And now the person that's hosting this, or the organizations that's hosting it, is there a recorder? How do you record the information at the conversation?
That's such a good question, because really, first and foremost, we want them to be able to listen.
Right.
Take some notes, but just truly listen and focus on what's being said. And then immediately after, we have an online form that they can fill out to capture the highlights from the conversation. It isn't meant to be, you know, like a court, you know, reporter that you're capturing everything.
Okay.
But just the essence of the conversation and key examples that then they can just immediately put into that form, and we can send that on to the researcher.
Okay. This is going to be interesting. And like you said, you're not landline. You're right. Landlines aren't being used, and a lot of people don't answer calls. With all the scam calls going on, people are afraid of answering questions on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're just so annoyed they're not even going to pick up.
Right. So this is a much more friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people want to be to host a conversation, how can they get in touch with Encourage, or who should they contact, and then maybe you can give those training dates again.
Okay, well, I will. The training dates are next week.
Okay.
So give us a call soon. The training dates are Monday at noon at Encourage, Wednesday at 5:30, and then Thursday at 7:30 in the morning next week. And you can call our main number at 715-423-3863. I'm terrible with that.
Okay.
You can ask for Heather.
Okay.
You can also visit our website. There is a link to our survey page as well, so that would be helpful too.
What's the initial feedback you're hearing on the street since the survey is, the mail survey has started to hit? You mentioned you got some calls.
It's too soon, to be honest. We have people that are excited to sign up for the host training.
That's why I'm gathering. There is some excitement about this.
Yeah, there is excitement. And we're getting people that did not participate 5 years ago. So we're getting a whole new host of folks, which is exciting. I do want to give a shout out to our national funder, the Knight Foundation. It is the whole reason we were able to do this work, because they're
going to ask you who's paying for this.
Yes. So, yes, the Knight Foundation out of Miami, because they focus on news and information. And Encourage was selected one of four, where they really recognize that instead of doing their funding to a lot of different places, they really wanted to focus on areas in the nation that were going deep and intentional with their work around information. And Encourage was one of four. The other ones are Silicon Valley, Chicago Trust, and the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation in New Jersey, and then Encourage. So we're really, really honored that they're supporting our work financially to do this kind of work.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting that with the results that you get from this. And I'm thinking again too, with the diverse, the way we've changed, this community has changed, it's got to change it some way. I'm thinking I'm going to be curious. My curiosity will be to see, is there more or less optimism? That's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And there are plenty of open-ended questions where people can you know, fill in that, as well as, you know, easy, fast questions of just ranking things. So it'll be a great space for people to share their thoughts.
The bottom line, folks, you always say, I wish we would do this. I wish we would do this. I think we should do this. Well, here's your opportunity.
Exactly.
To have your input.
Yep.
Yep.
Take advantage.
10 to 12 minutes and take the survey. Yeah.
So watch for that survey November 27th. So right after Thanksgiving, it's going to go live. So everybody get ready.
Yeah, get ready, and we want your thoughts. Ladies, this was a very interesting topic. I look forward to future updates and a continued conversation.
Great. Thank you, Carl. We appreciate it.
You
Thank
take care.
You.
And that is Jen Perry and Heather McKellips from Encourage. Talking about the 2017 Community Survey and Conversations. And that's going to wrap up the Morning Magazine.